Would you turn to the 120th Psalm? Back to the Psalms. We're in John 6 for 5 weeks, and now we're back to the Psalms. Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesech, and I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray. Lord, how thankful we are for the gospel of thy blessed Son that causes us to be accepted in your sight through what he did. Lord, we ask in his name that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Spirit and that you would speak in power to our hearts for the Lord's sake. Lord, we confess our sin. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray that we might be found in Christ. We pray for all your people, wherever they meet together, that you'd bless them with your presence in the preaching of your word. Lord, we pray for our friends of this assembly. They're going through severe trial. We pray for your blessing upon them. We pray for those of our number that are sick, that your will would be done, that your healing hand would be upon them according to your will. But Lord, give us each the grace to rest in thy Son, knowing that whatever he does is altogether glorious, and we rest in him. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now you'll note at the head of this psalm, it's called a psalm of degrees. A psalm of degrees. And that actually means a psalm of ascent. And that title is inspired, and it's the title of the next 15 psalms. A psalm of ascent. Now it can't be determined exactly why it's called that. But most people believe it's because of the ascent up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was 2,800 feet above sea level, a high city, and you had to go there 3 times a year and for these feasts. And it is thought that these psalms were actually sung by the people as they went up the hill toward Jerusalem, a psalm of ascent. And in the psalms, there's 5 different books. And this comprises one of the 5 books, these 15 psalms of ascent or degrees. Now, I'm going to read this psalm in 2 ways, and I think it's much easier to do that with a short psalm, but you always know that the first way to look at a psalm is the words of the Lord. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Now, we read that he had strong cryings and tears and was heard and that he feared. You know, he's called a man of sorrows in the scripture and deeply acquainted with grief. And we see this in his opening statement in this psalm. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Remember when it says he was sore amazed, being in agony? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now, Robert Harker suggested that he's talking about Judas at this time because of verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And it very well could have been that he was talking about and praying with regard to Judas. But he was living in a world that was hostile toward him. There were false witnesses brought up against him, and the world hated him. And here he makes this cry, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, how many false accusations were brought against the Lord Jesus Christ? Deliver me from these lying lips and this deceitful tongue. And he says in verse 3 that he knows the Lord's going to vindicate him. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? He knew that the Lord would vindicate him. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. That's God's judgment against the lying lips and the deceitful and false tongue. And then the Lord says, woe is me. Now somebody says, how can the Lord say that? He's the Son of God. How can he say, woe is me? Well, he wept, didn't he? He troubled himself. The scripture says in John chapter 11, he troubled himself. And think about this. I want to say this reverently. But if I was him, living around people like me and you, I'd be saying, woe is me. He said, how long do I suffer you? And these are the words of the Lord as this man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He says, woe unto me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now, this is the descendants of Ishmael. Salvation by works. People like that are always going to hate him. And he says, woe is me that I dwell in this. My soul, verse 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. And all of his life, those 33 years that he lived upon this earth, he was dwelling with those who hate peace. That's why he's saying, woe is me. He says in verse 7, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And notice, am is in italics. I am peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, he is our peace. The joy and the peace of believing, he experienced it. The peace he had with his Father. I am peace. But when I speak, they are for war. They have no love for the gospel that I preach. So we look at this, first of all, as the words of the Lord himself. But now let's consider them our words, our experience. In my distress. The word is also translated trouble, affliction, adversity, anguish. In my distress. If you don't have it now, you will have it. In my distress. I cried unto the Lord. Now I hope this is by his grace what you and I do when we're in distress. Instead of getting upset with our circumstances or angry with our circumstances, we cry unto the Lord. I love the fact that this cry is the same word translated call Same word, we call upon his name. When we're in distress, when we're in anguish, whether it's our circumstances or whether it's self-inflicted. A lot of our distress is self-inflicted, isn't it? The problems that come upon us, they're self-inflicted. We can't blame somebody else. They're our fault. But does that mean we don't cry to the Lord? No. In our distress, there's nowhere else to cry. In our distress, in our anguish, in whatever way it is, we cry unto the Lord, and look at this promise every believer has. He heard me. If you're a child of God, if I'm a child of God, amazingly, we have the ear of God. When I pray in my anguish, in my distress, for whatever reason that might be, and there's myriad reasons, whatever reason that might be, I call upon his name, and we have this promise, he hears me. The living God hears me. The God of glory hears me. You want to talk about something that's amazing? To think that you have the ear of God. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now look what he says, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, every one of us have been lied on and misrepresented. Every one of us. But, unlike our Lord, anything bad said about me has some truth in it. Would you agree with that? Anything that someone says bad about me or criticizes me, it's got some truth to it. It wasn't that way with the Lord, but it is that way with me and you. And what about this? Deliver me, my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You know, we can lie to ourselves and deceive ourselves. And you've seen people do it. Maybe you haven't seen yourself do it, but you've seen people do it when they lie to them. They lie to themselves, and they're convinced what they're saying is true. They're convinced, I'm vindicated in what I'm doing, while the whole time you can see they're lying to themselves. You know, the scripture says if a man says he has no sin, he, what? Deceives himself. And the truth is not in him. He can't even be listened to. He's deceiving himself. And one of the ways we cry for deliverance is from lying to myself and deceiving myself. Give me the grace to come into the Lord's presence in honesty rather than trying to present something. And what about the lying lips of a false gospel? I want to hear the truth, don't you? I want to hear the gospel of God. I want to hear what he has to say in his word. Deliver me from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And this is a very sobering and scary thought. In most of what goes on under the name of preaching, lying lips and a deceitful tongue, inspired by Satan himself. And he's saying, Lord, deliver me from lying lips, whether it's me being misrepresented. You know, if you're misrepresented, you will be. I will be. The Lord will take care of it. You don't need to try to straighten things out. You don't need to try to get somebody to admit you misrepresented me. No, the Lord will take your cause. If you're deceiving yourself and lying to yourself, ask the Lord to give you grace to be honest before him, that your spirit might be without guile and deceit. And oh, deliver me from the lying lips of a false gospel. Now, he says in verse 3 and 4, what shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? These lying lips he's speaking of. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Now, he's not saying this that he would defend himself, but he knows the arrows of the Almighty will take care of this. The sharp coals of juniper. Now, he says in verse 5, woe is me. How many times have you said that? In your own thoughts. For how many different reasons? Woe is me. A difficult situation. What about Paul when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Isn't that woe is me? "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who should deliver me from the body of this death?" The sojourning going on. "Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, and I dwell in the tents of Kedar." The Lord said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." It's going to happen. And there's so many different reasons. The troubles you brought on yourself. How many times have you asked the Lord, "Would you be pleased to get me out of this mess I've made? Be pleased to have mercy on me." The troubles that you have no control of. And I think the trouble he's most talking about, let's keep reading. "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace." The first thing that came to my mind when I considered this, ever since I've been born again, I've been dwelling in this old man that hates peace. I just find that to be my experience. I've been with him a long time. I know him. "Oh, wretched man that I am." I believe that that's what he's speaking of more than anything else. And if you have a new nature, it is only a holy nature being born of God that even recognizes this. If you're not born of God, this doesn't make sense to you. But if you're born of God, you're dwelling in this man that... Well, let's go to Romans 7 for just a moment. Let's look at how Paul speaks of this man. Verse 14. "For we know..." That "we" is every believer. He's speaking as the representative of every believer. We know. We know this, don't we? We know. Somebody says, "Yeah, I know." Yeah, you do, if you're one of the "we's." "We know that the law, God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, is spiritual, but I am carnal." Now, he's speaking as a believer. Only a believer speaks this way. "I am carnal, sold under sin." Sold as a slave to sin, he says. Now, let me repeat. Only a believer understands this, because only a believer understands what sin is. An unbeliever looks at everything as things I do. And sin is in things you do, but I'm talking about the heart. The wicked heart that is always there. Now let's go on reading. This is where he's talking about, "I've long dwelt with him that hates peace. For that which I do, I allow not." I don't approve of it. "For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would, I consent unto the law it's good. Now there's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." It's not me, it's him. That's what he's saying. This man that I'm dwelling in, that has long hated peace. "For I know that in me," verse 18, "that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." Now, once again, this is only a believer that can say this. "I would never sin again. I would be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good?" What are the next three words? "I find not." That's my experience. "I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is that man that dwells with that one who hates peace. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring. Remember, he hates peace. He hates peace. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's talking about that old man. And he calls him the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful you can say that? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, like I said, a believer understands this. He knows it. An unbeliever will find all kinds of objections to this. It's because they don't have a holy nature. They have never been born of God. But if I've been born of God, I'll know this is my experience. Now back to Psalm 120. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Now that, it could be you've experienced being around somebody that hates peace. They're contentious and they're enemies of the peace of the gospel. And you're going to be around people like that the rest of your life as long as you're in this flesh. And this can also talk about my old man. He says in verse 7, I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Every believer is described in the Beatitudes. I don't think we could spend enough time considering the Beatitudes, because the Lord tells us there what a believer is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They have nothing to recommend them to God. They're poor in spirit. What a state of blessedness. Blessed are they that mourn. They mourn before God over their sin. They hate their sin. They mourn over their sin. Blessed are the meek. They're meek before God. This is an attitude before God, that everything he does is right and glorious and just. Meek before God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. That's the new heart. That's the clean heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And that describes every believer. Now, some people, I realize, are a little bit more contentious in their nature than others. But every believer loves peace. They love the peace of God. They love the righteousness of Christ as their only peace before God. And they're not trying to look for a fight. They're peacemakers. They preach the gospel of peace. They believe the gospel of peace. Peace. And we can say, I am for peace. But when I speak. Now what's he speaking of? When I speak the gospel of peace. That's what he's referring to. When I speak, when the gospel comes out of my mouth and I speak, and people find out what it is, I believe that Jesus Christ is my peace before God. I believe that the only righteousness there is his righteousness. And the only peace I receive is from knowing that his righteousness is the only righteousness I have. And what peace I have from that. But when I speak peace, guess what? They're for war. They do not like this message. And here's why they do not like this message, because they're looking for peace somewhere else. I'm looking for peace in what I do. I'm looking for peace in what I think or what I feel or what I experience or some work or some experience I've had in the past. I'm looking for peace somewhere other than the Prince of Peace. So when I speak peace, what I'm saying is taking away what they think they ought to have peace in. Hey, you're taking away my peace. You're taking away what I'm hoping in. You're saying it's no good. Therefore, war. Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 4, verses 25 and Romans 5, 1. Last verse of Romans chapter 4 says, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, I want you to think about this. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you were justified. Isn't that glorious? You were justified. That means when Christ was raised from the dead, you stand before God as one who has never sinned. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified, literally having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Perfect peace. God is completely satisfied with me. And I have the peace of knowing that he is perfectly satisfied with me because of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting away my sins and giving me his righteousness. And I speak peace. And somebody that doesn't find this a message of peace, they speak war when they hear this message. But thank God for the peace of the gospel. Thank God for the Prince of Peace.